This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
With us this morning, we have Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor here in Murfreesboro. How are you, Dr. McCabe?
Hey, I'm doing great, Scott. I hope everybody's doing great on this bright, beautiful morning today.
It is so nice out there, and you know, it's kind of refreshing to wake up with sunshine after we lost an hour of sleep.
Well, I'll tell you, if I had my druthers, it'd be daylight savings time all the time. I don't like getting dark in the evening where I can't work in the yard or go out and play some sports outside. But I think that's one of the joys of spring. Not only the flowers and the leaves and the blooms and the greenness, but also that it's warmer and you get to play outside more.
That's right. And it feels more refreshing out there when the sun is out. And boy, we need that sun because it was so cold this past weekend. I'm ready for warmer weather.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, Scott, it's only the beginning, middle of March.
I know, gosh.
So we can still have cold evenings, but as we get into mid-April, those go away.
Yep. Well, again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us, and if you have any questions for him, we invite you to text those to us this morning at 615-893-1450. So what are folks coming to you for during this time of year when it comes to their eyes?
Well, you know, when those bluebells start blooming, we know we have the official start of allergy season and spring weather. And so a lot of people now are coming in with the change of seasons with allergy symptoms. These are the red, teary, itchy eyes. And if you have a little bit of a dry eye problem to begin with, this makes it worse. If you wear contacts, it can make it worse. If you have autoimmune diseases, it makes it worse. If you take pills that are beta blockers for high blood pressure or pain medications or diuretics, or if you have thyroid eye disease or any of the autoimmune diseases, so many things cause a dry eye. And you know, when you read, if you do read, the packing information in any of the medications, or you look it up on Google and you see what the side effects, boy, I'll bet you that one out of two say blurred vision. And that's mostly because of a dry eye problem.
Interesting. So all these different medications, they cause dry eyes, and then you see it as the user sees it as blurred vision. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's right, because the air tear film interface is responsible for 70% of the focusing power, that refraction power that bends the light onto our retina to see. And so if you have a poor air tear film interface, which means you would have a poor ocular surface, or what we call tear film, if you have a poor tear film, either from the water component or the oily component, or a combination of the two, you're going to have intermittent blurred vision and tired red eyes.
Those tired feeling red eyes, that's a good description of it, because it does somehow work its magic on you, and it makes you feel tired whenever your eyes feel like that. Why is that?
Well, I think you're straining hard to see. And when you focus on a laptop or a cell phone or your monitor, whether it be at work or just you're waiting in line for something, you know, and you're blowing time, whatever it is, you don't blink near as much. And when you don't blink as much, that's how you re-wet your eyes. It gets worse. And I'll let your viewers know, I'm just driving by an accident here at the church in Rutherford, a few vehicles involved and glass all over the place, so be careful at that intersection.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us this morning, local eye doctor. You can text us any questions you may have at 615-893-1450. And here is a very interesting question we just got. It says, I see these stores selling CBD now all over the place. Do those have any impact on your vision if you take or eat these products?
Well, I think any kind of smoke will irritate your eyes. If you're taking it as an injectable or an oral or a topical, then not so much. As a matter of fact, the CBD is kind of mostly make you relaxed, calm, sleepy. And for those reasons, your eyes are closed more. So that's a good thing for dry eyes because it's them staying open. And that's why they're worse at the end of the day than they are in the middle. But also the CBD can help decrease inflammation. And when you decrease inflammation, if you have an inflamed lacrimal gland, which is your tear gland, which is what people will get with thyroid and other autoimmune diseases, sometimes it can improve the function of that gland, but only temporarily. And you would have to be under the influence of that drug constantly. And of course, you can't do that when you're sleeping. So it is not recommended as a dry eye treatment.
Next question, it says, I know when you were on the air last, you said something about surgery for astigmatism, and I just heard the end of it, but this is news to me, and I have astigmatism and can't wear contacts, and eyeglasses, for some reason, leave me straining. Can you tell more about the surgery, it says, or ask, I guess?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, you need to take care of that problem, why you can't wear contacts and glasses are difficult. And, you know, I would bet a dime that it's a dry eye problem. Because like I said, that's the focusing problem of tired, red, intermittently blurry vision. So once we get that fixed, you may be happy with glasses or contacts. As a matter of fact, that's the number one cause of contact lens intolerance. Is a dry eye problem, and it needs to be treated with more than just handing the patient a bottle sample of artificial lubricating eye drops. You need to have more moisture in the eye constantly. And for that, it's something that we do every day in our office. Just make an appointment there at McCabe Vision Center, 615-904-9024, and we're happy to take care of that. And that treatment is almost always covered by your insurance. So it's a good deal, too.
You know, it seems like the majority of, questions from folks out there listening, it seems like the majority have the same problems, and that would be dry eyes. It's wild how dry eyes cause so many issues to people.
Well, when you're younger, it doesn't affect you that much unless you have one of these underlying diseases, which is more common as we get into our 30s, 40s, 50s. And when you're 60, you only make 60% of the moisture for your eyes that you do when you're 20. And that's representative of all the glands in our body. They work less and less well, less and less efficient as we get older. They get infiltrated with scar tissue, fibrin, and other things that replace the normal cells, help the gland to produce whatever it's supposed to produce. And the lacrimal gland, it's a watery aqueous fluid to lubricate the eyes. So usually it's as we get older, and also, you know, as you're working more, you're more time on a video display screen of some kind. So that dries you out more. And also as you get older, you start to pick up some other kind of issues, maybe like blood pressure, beta blockers for blood pressure, pain medicine for your back or some joint that is a prescription one. These can all cause a dry eye problem. So it's not as common when you're younger, and it's more common as the decades go by.
Another question for Dr. McCabe. It says, I've got an intermittent tear duct that gets blocked on and off. Should I have it lanced to make it go away?
So when you have a nasal lacrimal duct obstruction, ooh, what's that? So there's a connection, the plumbing, if you will, between the nose corners of our eyes and inside our nose, where it'll drain to the back of our throat, where we also have some taste buds, believe it or not. And that's why sometimes when you use a prescription eye drop, you may taste it, even though it's not going in your mouth. So there's that connection. But if that connection is blocked, either by scar tissue or inflammation, maybe from allergies, something like that, then the tears do not drain, just like water drains through the bathtub drain hole. It doesn't drain through the tear ducts, and it can puddle up in your eyes, and then when you blink, it'll get squeezed out and run down your cheeks. So what I do first with patients is I start them on an anti-inflammatory medicine to look at a functional block, which is those that are open most of the time, but closed sometimes due to inflammation. Sounds like what this patient may have. And if that relieves it, then they can just stay on the medicine and they don't need the procedure. If that doesn't relieve it, then they need to go on to a nasal lacrimal duct probing, which is running a thin little wire, almost like a Roto-Rooter, through the plumbing system to open up that drainage canal. And that will fix it in probably 70% of patients. 70% of patients will have to, or excuse me, the other 30% will have to go on to get a detour around that blockage down their nose, which is a little opening inside the nose that avoids that blockage that can't be opened in those few cases. And then that'll take care of it. So it's a stepwise algorithm to get this taken care of, but it absolutely can be taken care of.
All right. I love this next question. It's interesting because you've answered a question similar to this. I think it was the last show, in fact, and it says this one a little different. It says, I'm from Florida, but noticed about a year and a half after I moved to Rutherford County, my eye color has started to change a little bit. Why is that?
Oh, I wonder what has changed from what to what?
Yeah, good question.
But in all people, as they get older, the eye tends to lose a little bit of its color. Now, if you have brown eyes, they might become a little bit lighter brown, and so you don't notice it as much. But if you have green or blue-green, and the plural of iris is irides, so that's your little new word for the day. It's not irises, it's irides. But anyways, as we lose some pigment from the underside of the iris, that colored tissue in our eye, it becomes a lighter of whatever color it was and may take on a little bit of a grayish hue, as well as on the cornea where it meets the white part of the eye. That area after the age of 50 can accumulate cholesterol, lipids, fat, and that will give a little whitish ring around the cornea there, called an arcus or circus senilis is the medical term. But those two things can kind of fade out the appearance of the eye color.
That's wild. It's wild how eye color can slightly change over the years.
Well, what I, you know, the common thing I say is the only thing constant is change. And everything else changes about your body, right?
That's right. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe is on the air with us this morning. You can text questions to us at 615-893-1450, and we'll try our best to get to it. We have quite a few questions here this morning. So again, we'll try to get to it. This next question says, I was told that I'm pre-diabetic by my doctor just last week, and I know those who have diabetes often have eye problems. Should I worry about having eye problems?
No, but you should get an annual eye exam once a year, which is an unhurried but dilated eye exam that thoroughly looks at your retinas, your ocular optic nerves in your eyes, even the angle where the fluid drains out of the inside of the eyes, as well as the irises. They can all show signs of diabetes.
And here's another question. Now, I know you've answered this one before because I remember the answer on this one, talking about reading, and sometimes your eyes start to twitch, and they twitch more often than other times on occasion. But I remember you said that was something to do with stress, or it could be stress-induced.
Yeah, there's three things that cause an uncontrolled, uncoordinated, spastic contraction of the orbicularis oculi muscle, which is that big muscle that totally surrounds the eye, that's inside the eyelids and squeezes our eyelids close together. It doesn't blink the eyelid, it squeezes the eyes together if you were to squeeze them both. So that muscle can get irritated. And when it does, just like kind of a spastic back muscle, it can go into little mini spasms, these uncoordinated contractions, and they result, it's typically associated with someone with a little bit of a type A personality, which means They're under a little bit more stress. They don't get quite as much sleep as they used to. And they've got something that's causing a dry eye problem. So either of any of those three or a combination of them can cause what's called myokymia, M-Y-O-K-Y-M-I-A, which is that spastic contraction of, and it's usually just one eye at a time, the left or the right side. It's usually not both. If it's both, you may have a different condition called blepharospasm, which makes it hard to open your eyes because they're trying to squeeze on you quite a lot, not just intermittently. So those are the two things that can cause that uncoordinated contraction of that muscle around the eye. And for both of those, if you see your eye doctor, you can get that treated. If it is the myokymia and you've done everything where your eyes have plenty of moisture, you're getting your sleep, your stress is at its normal level. Of course, everyone's under some level of stress. But if that appears to all be normal, you can get a little injection of a neurotoxin like Botox, and that will take away the contractions. But usually just using an artificial tear drop several times a day, getting more sleep, and taking care of whatever tasks are causing you stress, that will make this go away.
And so again, that artificial teardrop that they should use, is that like a moisture teardrop, or is it one of those that says it'll fix and cure everything teardrop?
So not those, but the moisture lubricating, soothing artificial teardrop. There's several good ones. You've heard in the news all these bad ones. So I would try to stay with the brand names like Refresh, TheraTears, Thane, and there's a new one out called Ivizia, which comes in a preservative-free bottle and is even a little bit better. And those are all over-the-counter.
Now, I know some teardrops have been recalled in recent months, as you kind of alluded to there, but what would be the reason for a teardrop, for one of those eye lubricants, what would be the reason for them to be recalled?
Well, the latest one was with some brand names that people may be familiar with, like Walmart's Equate version. So these are ones that are being bought by a lot of people because they're getting bought at Walmart and such. But they have some problem in their production line. Either there's a contaminant that's been found in lots of those eye drops, or they have not passed sterilization tests and they may be contaminated. And that was the one that we heard about maybe a year ago that caused these terrible eye ulcers that took away people's vision.
Wow, that's rough.
They're usually not these brand names that I just spoke of. So I think you can feel that when you're getting a high quality one, you can trust.
So when you get a contaminant in the eye, let's say, for example, you paint cars for a living and somehow that overspray gets behind the goggles and into the eye, what kind of dangers could occur there?
Well, every week we see corneal or conjunctival foreign bodies in the eye. Oftentimes, and this is going to start up again more so now because people are sharpening their lawnmower blades on grinding wheels. That's a common way that flicks little hot metal into your eyes. Or maybe they're working underneath the car and there's a lot of rust. Whenever you're in a particulate heavy environment like that, you can get something in your eye. So mowing the yard, weed whacking, all these kind of things that throw a bunch of stuff in the eye, it's always a good idea to at least have sunglasses on or some kind of eye protection.
We got to take a break in just a minute, but one question. I'm curious, what's the craziest thing you've seen that someone has gotten stuck or in their eye somehow?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things. There is my first day of call 25 years ago. I got called into the ER for a probably a young teenage boy who had a MEPS spinner lure with the treble hook in his lower eyelid. and his dad took him fishing, and he was casting, and he wasn't careful of his back cast, and he actually caught the eyelid of his son.
Oh.
Ooh, that's a terrible thing. I've seen people that have had literally ticks on their eyeball or underneath on their eyelids.
Oh, a tick. That would be painful.
Yes. You know, and there's worms, like dog heartworms.
Oh, wow.
Congenital level migraines is the medical name for one, which can wander around. You can actually see it kind of moving around underneath the white part, the congenitiva of your eye. You know, so there's all these terrible things that happen. But probably the craziest one I've ever seen was an elderly woman who came in with her daughter who just started to take care of her, and she hadn't been having good care. And I found a contact lens under her eyelid that had been in her eye for almost 14 years.
Oh, wow.
It was calcified and nasty, and so look after your parents.
I cannot.
We all need help from each other.
I can't imagine the pain that she probably had with that for quite some time.
Yeah, but it's, you know, the human body is remarkable. It often, when it's under constant chronic pain, and many of your listeners will be able to tell you this, it starts to dull, and they can become used to it. Although it's a bother, and it hurts some. Not as near as much as it did when it first started.
Goodness.
So it's amazing what we can get used to.
It is. Time right now, 8:41. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us this morning. By the way, his office is at 122 Heritage Park Drive off of Memorial Boulevard. And you can also find him online at McCabeVisionCenter.com. We're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back to answer your questions at 615-893-1450.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Brandon. I am the drum instructor at Music World Drummer's Den. What Dave and I try to do, because we're drummers, is a hands-on experience. We let you come back in the drum room so you can try drums out before you buy them, because online you can't do that. Taking private lessons, we jumpstart you a lot quicker than you can on YouTube. A lot of people try to watch YouTube and take lessons. We're hands-on.
Music World and Drummer's Den in Murfreesboro, 2762 South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
Hey fellas, if you've been feeling tired and grumpy and have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center, which is where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Most insurance is accepted for treatment. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Starting with one store in 1978, Boot Barn has become the largest Western and workwear retailer in the nation. Supporting those who feed, build, and protect America, we offer the largest selection of cowboy boots, work boots, Western wear, workwear, and outdoor gear. With over 500,000 pairs of boots and thousands of top quality jeans and clothing, it's an honor to support the people who make our country so great. Boot Barn. Keep West.
There's so many things that you can do at Adams Place. My name is Carrie Shannon. I probably spend more time in the library or reading a book and that kind of thing. And I've never seen anything as good as Adams Place. And you feel like you're in a beautiful hotel and a very nice library. It's just a really beautiful place.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals. Because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:45. Remember, we should have, if you're listening this morning, we should have set our clocks forward by 1 hour, spring forward. First day of spring is next week, so it is 8:45, not 7:45 this morning. Today, our guest is Dr. Craig McCabe. He's on the air with us, local eye doctor. If you have any eye-related questions, feel free to text those in at 615-893-1450. Well, our next question this morning, it asks about strabisma surgery. I may be saying that wrong. It says, how often does the average patient need to have strabisma surgery? It said, I had mine 10 years ago, and I've noticed now my eyes are starting to wander off again. So what is all of that about?
Yeah, so that's great. So strabisma surgery, or strabismus, usually the lay term is a lazy eye.
Ah.
So that's someone who has an eye that's either drifted in, out, up, or down, and they may have had it as a child. That's when it's called a lazy eye, and it can affect their vision permanently for the rest of their life. So always make sure that your young children, 1, 2, 3, 4 years of age, before they get to school, have had their pediatrician check their eyes. And then if they find anything, they'll refer them on to an ophthalmologist. But strabismus is that condition where one eye muscle is a little bit weakened, and so the muscle on the other side of the eyeball is, say, unopposed, and it can pull the eye in that direction. Now, you can have a muscle strengthening procedure where a pediatric ophthalmologist will advance typically the weakened muscle closer to the eye or recess the stronger muscle a little bit away from the cornea to weaken it a little bit so that those forces are balanced and the eye moves towards the center position and focuses with the other one. However, you can have it from tumors. You can have it from strokes when you're older that affect the nerves that control these muscles that move the eye around. And you can have a sensory deprivation one where the eye will turn in or out if the vision is much weaker on one side, one eye, than it is on the other. And then the brain slowly ignores the eye with the poor vision and doesn't work on focusing it in the same place as the good eye. It just kind of ignores it, and it tends to drift in or out. And so those are the major ways in which people's eyes are not yoked together, moving smoothly. You know, when you look to the left, you look to the right, you look up, you look down, your eyes are always moving in the same direction with each other, left and right. But there is one time when they move in completely opposite directions. You know what that is, Scott?
I don't know. I have no clue.
You're doing it right now. It's when you look at something up close. Your right eye moves to the left and your left eye moves to the right. So they move in opposite directions. And that's the only time they should be moving in different directions. Otherwise, they should be focused, moving in the same direction. So it's very highly, of course, coordinated by the brain, requiring the nerves and the muscles to work well. And anything that affects those will also affect the alignment of the eyes and cause a problem called strabismus. And then you have to have that muscle or strabismus surgery.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe. It does make sense. I had no idea that one eye moved one way and the other moved the other when you're looking at something, trying to focus on something up close.
Yeah, but it makes perfectly good sense, doesn't it? Some people who have a stroke later on in life, they can get a prism in their glasses, which doesn't correct that misaligned eye, but does correct the way that light goes through the eye, so it makes it appear like both eyes are looking at the same place. And as long as they have their glasses on, they have no double vision, and their eyes look straight, that can handle small amounts of strabismus. Larger amounts have to be taken care of with surgery. And when you're a small kid, it's usually taken care of with glasses and patching, but often will require surgery for larger cases as well.
So now, somebody later in life, could they have an accident and that lead to a problem with the eyes, like lazy eye, like what we're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have a stroke, or maybe they had a surgery that may have damaged one of those nerves that innervate those muscles that control the eye movement. Maybe they had a tumor in an area and that had to be removed and that damaged the nerve. So there's all different ways. The most common one is where the eye drifts up, called a hyperduction or a fourth cranial nerve palsy, after a stroke to cause that double vision. And usually can be fixed with glasses, and larger cases have to have surgery.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe with us this morning, local eye doctor. If you have any questions, text those in at 615-893-1450, but text quickly. We only have a few minutes left. This next question talks about how it feels like, or looks like, I'm looking through a kaleidoscope. I've noticed this happens on occasion. It happens also when I'm tired, but it also happens randomly. What could this be?
Well, if this visual phenomenon lasts longer than 5 minutes, but less than an hour, that's typically called an aura, A-U-R-A, which may or may not be followed by a headache. So if you have a classic migraine headache, you have the preceding aura where you may notice colored flashing lights, and then it's followed by a migrainous headache. Or you may have a common migraine headache, which is no aura and just that pounding headache that can wake you up from sleep on one side of your body. Or maybe you have just the aura. That's called an optic or ophthalmic or ocular migraine, and that may be what the patient is describing. Once again, they should see their eye doctor to get that taken care of.
Next question here from the same person, but different in a sense. It says, my husband sees stars when he stands up too quickly sometimes. I doubt it's anything serious, but what causes this?
Well, it may be something serious. It may be where his heart rate and his blood pressure does not keep up with the needs of oxygenation of the brain. Because as we stand up too quickly and we're older, the blood can kind of pool in our lower extremities, our legs. We don't get enough oxygen or blood flow to our brain. And then we can get lightheaded, dizzy, or have these kind of symptoms. This is called orthostatic hypotension. And that is typically diagnosed and treated by your primary care physician. Stay hydrated. That's one of the important things. Stay hydrated.
You know, I'm curious, doing things, you know, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, like walking every day and getting that blood flowing, does that also help the eyes?
Oh, yeah. Routine exercise is always good. I mean, as long as you're not working a joint or a bone or a muscle that is damaged, inflamed, traumatized, I don't think you'll go to a doctor that doesn't tell you that routine exercise is not very helpful. It's one of those things that's truly good for what ails you. It may not fix it, but it'll make it better. It'll make you healthier. It'll make you feel better and make you be able to perform better.
Next question says, I'm new to town. I need to set up an appointment and find a good eye doctor, but what is the difference with your office versus one, for example, in a shopping mall?
Well, then you're looking at the difference between an ophthalmologist and an optometrist. Both are great doctors, but both have different roles, so to speak. So So if you're going in for just a quick glasses or contact lens exam, then you've got vision insurance. Then that's a great thing to go see an optometrist for. And they can also help you diagnose any common conditions. If you have more significant or medical issues like diabetes, glaucoma, macular degeneration, cataracts, all those things, those are typically handled by ophthalmologists. And we typically do a dilated, more thorough exam.
And this question, and I know you offer this, but it says, a friend of mine who's a nurse practitioner does Botox, and she says and insists that she can help me with my daily headaches. Is there truth to this?
So that's one of these things. It depends, right? Not everything has an absolute answer. But if you have migraine headaches that affect your forehead, many, many people have relief with Botox injections there. If you have muscle spasms or muscle tension headaches, then sometimes those in the back of the neck and shoulders can help you as well. So first you have to diagnose what the problem is. Then you got to get insurance to pay for it. Then you give it a try and hopefully it'll help you.
Does insurance cover Botox for that?
It does. Wow. It does. Not all of them, but many do. But it requires pre-approval.
So that's good to hear, I'm sure, for a lot of folks out there. And I know I've asked you, but does that Botox hurt when you get that injection?
Yeah, it feels like a little skin prick, but it's not bad at all. I mean, in my office, we use a 32-gauge, the smallest needles you can buy. If patients are sensitive, we will use a numbing topical lidocaine gel before we do the injections. So the pain is minor.
Hey, and I bet you that pain is not as bad as that continuous migraine headache folks get.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's why people don't miss those appointments.
I bet. You know, some of those headaches are so bad, you just want to go in a dark room, you know, shut all the lights off and close your eyes. And that's really how some folks cope with it. It's painful.
You know, or they'll get nauseous. They can't go to work. They can't take care of their kids. You know, there's they can be very detrimental to your daily performance if you have significant migraines. And my heart goes out for any of those people that have frequent, difficult migraines. I have known many, and boy, they struggle with it.
I bet it's wild how much pain they actually do cause, and the nausea that goes along with it. That's rough.
Yeah. Let's see if we got one more.
All right, last one here. It says, I get floaters in my eye, and it's constantly bothering me, and I don't know what's causing it. What could be causing this issue?
So floaters are usually caused by protein called collagen that clumps up in the back of the eye. You notice it when you look at a brightly lit background, white wall, fluorescent light, computer, TV screen. And if they're in a safe location, we do have a laser at my office that can help to get rid of them. And usually insurance will cover for that as well. So give us a call if you need help with any of these things that we discussed today. And I thank everyone's calling in and texting in with these excellent questions.
Thank you for joining us. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe, 122 Heritage Park Drive. Thank you for joining us.